Hey, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana.
Hi, I'm Nigel.
And you're listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age. We improve with wine.
Lana.
Dawn!
We have a guest with an accent.
Oh my god, and it's a very nice one.
It is. We have Nigel. He's from New Zealand. And with fill in the blank, the name of your winery.
So it's Selini Estates.
Or Silini, or Selini.
Yes, Selini, Selini. Yes. I don't really care how people are pronouncing it, as long as they're drinking it. Enjoy.
Yes, so he's all the way over from New Zealand. His winery is over there, but he's been living in Minnesota so he can raise awareness for his delicious wines. Which one should we start with? Nigel has to choose.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you generally you go whites into reds. And
yes.
Although we were at a tasting where it went the other way, and boy, did that not work.
It did not work. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, so we've got two Sauvignon Blancs and a couple of Pinot Noirs today.
I think Nigel's my favorite guest ever.
The variety and the multitude.
Yeah, usually we bring the wine and this is the first time we've had a guest who hasn't been in the performing arts.
Oh, I know.
Usually we have musicians and actors and directors and writers and...
Well, sorry to disappoint you.
No, hardly. Okay, no,
you're our first.
Yeah. Be gentle. Okay, which one should we start with?
Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to go for the Cellar Selection Sauvignon Blanc. So Cellar Selection is our everyday drinking range. Oh. And so we say...
Can you just say that one more time for me?
Everyday drinking range.
Oh, I love everyday drinking. Okay, go.
Well, if you already drank one of these every day, we'd be pretty happy.
That's what I'm missing in life, Lana. I'm not drinking it every day.
Okay, now, one of our favorite sounds, and actually it's one of my favorite ways to get this sound, because, yes, a screw top.
Yay!
All right.
And our most favorite sound in the world... In the whole wide world.
Well, hand me your glass, kids. Alrighty. And...
God, that's beautiful.
It is.
It is.
All right. Darling.
So, tell us about this wine.
Thank you.
So, Sauvignon Blanc from New Zealand is our most famous wine export. It represents close to 90%, or actually probably about 70% of everything we produce in the country and exports. Ooh. It's even higher percentage. And I guess the style of Sauvignon Blanc we make is just very, very aromatic.
There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, you can smell it from across the room almost.
It smells beautiful.
Yeah.
And that's smelling from across the room in the right way.
It doesn't stink. It smells good.
So I think Sauvignon Blanc in general from New Zealand, it's easy to understand. And so for a lot of people who aren't, I guess, real wine connoisseurs, wine snobs, or whatever you want to call them, people get it. They go, wow, I can taste passion fruit, I can taste grapefruit, I can get something out of it. So all of a sudden, a non-wine expert, I guess, becomes their own personal expert after they try it. So it's taking the world and currently the US by storm.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, by storm. Well, let's give it a sniff, and I think you've already gotten a little ahead of us.
Because the seeing, there's no doubt this is beautiful, it's clear.
It's good.
It's just a lovely...
Pale, a little... Greenish,
kind of greenish
gold.
Tinge,
And I love anything with green.
And as soon as you opened and poured this, you could smell how just nummy this thing is.
Yeah, so I guess the hint of the smell, so getting your palate ready to think about what it might taste like.
Okay, this will be a challenge for me.
I know, because now you have someone to tell you that you're wrong.
Like, you don't do it every weekend day of my life. Seriously. I'm not a big grapefruit fan. I like the smell. But not the taste. So now I'll be challenged to see how this comes across.
Yeah.
So what do you think it smells like? Now that we actually have a vintner here.
I'm not a vintner.
Let's get
that right from the start. Otherwise, the guys at the winery will be pretty unhappy with that. they're the ones that do the magic. I guess, got the challenging part of trying to get more and more people to buy it, which is actually quite easy. Because it's good quality. I sort of get more of the citrusy type flavors, and to be fair, I can't really stumble across anything and articulate it as well as the winemakers can. And in fact, more than many guys can, because we're not used to smelling wine or fragrance as much as females. Like, you're cooking more than guys, preparing food.
Oh,
and
wait, I'm sorry, what, cooking?
Yeah.
I think you meant microwaving.
Some of us cook.
You're smelling perfume more than guys, so you've got a much more advanced sense of smell. So that's why females are actually a lot better at describing what they're smelling.
That's why we like wine more.
Not to say that guys can't too, but...
Right. So let's look at adhesion here, because some wines do have some adhesion on the glass and some don't.
I'm not catching any. Well, just very little.
Very little.
I want to drink this, Lana. Can we drink this now, please?
Okay, just you won't, you know, twist my arms. Yeah. Well, what's our
here's to New Zealand.
Here's to absolutely. New Zealand.
I hope to go cheers. Someday.
Wow. Interesting.
This is exciting for us here at Skirrit because we typically don't do white wines.
Oh.
Because we actually typically don't like them.
Oh, there we go.
But this one we liked. And we were excited about it.
Okay, it's good to know.
We did pre-taste a couple because we didn't want to have you on and then eat your wines and then have to go, this sucks in front of you because that would really be nasty.
Hey, but look, I mean, we've got a thick skin in this business because not everybody likes our wine. A lot of people do. But the great thing about wine is you've all got your own personal preferences and personal taste profile. It can like or not. So the key thing about this wine compared to all other wines from New Zealand, Sauvignon Blanc style, is we blend a little bit of Semillon with this. So the main bulk of the wine is from Marlborough, the famous Sauvignon Blanc area, and mm-hmm. where we come from, Hawke's Bay, a little bit of Semillon. In this case, the 2015 has got about 10%. Mm. And what that does, it reduces your overt aromatics. So it's aromatic, but it's not going to just knock your palate apart like some can. And that's what gave us our claim to fame. But mm-hmm. what we're finding is people want more of a restrained, more of an elegant style. And I think for us, really importantly...
That's it. Yes, because it's elegant.
We are so freaking elegant.
And I guess the main benefit of that feature is that it helps, we think, pair with food and a much greater variety mm-hmm. of food.
Yeah, you know, interestingly, I don't know about you, Dawn, but I smell a ton of grapefruit. I don't taste a ton of grapefruit. There's a little bit of pear, very mm-hmm. lightly, and maybe some apricot.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like a spring garden is in my mouth.
That's what it's like. When we have our garden party here out back, we'll have to drink this.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's a summer drink. Like it's got a lot of connotations. But I say, well, look, here we are in Minnesota winter, it's my little glass of sunshine to remind me what summer is all about.
Yeah, this is really stunning. I'm enjoying this.
It's light. It does have a little bit of citrus bite, but it's very forward on the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
If it were further back on my tongue, I wouldn't like it so much. Because then, you know, it would cleave to your palate and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I'm not getting that...
Yeah.
You know, that whites usually...
Yeah, we'll listen to the podcast and see if we hear ourselves going...
Yeah. I usually edit all those out. Yeah. Oh, that's why it takes so long to edit.
But it's got a really nice length. You know, what we find when we do consumer tastings, they're going around lots of tables and things, and you find people coming back 5 or so minutes later and go... I can still taste your wine. And obviously it's in a good way. So that's kind of that's a cool, nice compliment.
Interesting. I think because this is so different, I think this would pair really well, not just with, you know, the usual stuff that you have white wine with, but something like a pork roast.
I think this would pair with Cheetos. I mean, I can like drink this, I think with
anything. Pairs with Cheetos.
Well, yeah. So tell us more about the winery, and it's a family business.
It's a family business, yep. Dad started it with Mum in 1997. I kind of jumped on the bandwagon there too. So
did they start the vineyard at that time, or did they buy a vineyard and take it
over? It was a field that grew asparagus.
Yeah.
And then the first vineyard
that
they
would
bought,
make gross
and
wine.
And then the side of the winery was, the asparagus kept growing.
Oh, really?
It just popped up for years afterwards. It's a weed.
You have this real green taste to the wine.
Yeah,
so
it must be
at
least.
Yeah. So that year, 97, 98, and what the intention was to have a little retirement project for my father. He was working very, very hard, and sadly sold a medical publishing business. And the deal was, you know, get out there and do something a little small, high quality, small volumes, and play golf with Mum on Wednesday type thing. And it's kind of all gone to hell in a handcuff. And we sell to a lot of countries, around 80 countries around the world.
Oh my gosh.
And we're one of New Zealand's largest sort of family-owned businesses. So it's
how many cases do you produce?
About 750,000.
Jiminy.
Yeah,
holy crammy. That would actually challenge Lana and I.
Oh, well, you couldn't drink the winery dry, that's for sure. Yeah.
But we'll try.
So I guess that's a lot of wine, but I think in the scale of things, if you match it up against some of the guys in California or some of the bigger Australian, the French, the Spanish, we're actually quite small compared to the volumes that these guys pump out.
But the volume that you're creating, though, and it still is this nice...
Yeah, it's I guess, you know, we've got three different quality tiers.
Okay. And which one are we drinking?
This is our first quality.
What?
Our largest
I can't wait.
So it's I think it's testament to our vineyard team. We've chosen some amazing vineyards that we've worked with, either to own or lease.
How much of the grapes is what you grow yourself, and how much is from another?
So we have our estate land in the Hawke's Bay. It's probably about a third of the volume from there. Another third is leased, and the other third is contract growers. And then Marlborough, about half, 50% is leased. So basically, essentially, it's our land. We're just renting it from the farm, fully controlled. And then the rest is contract Amazing. Growers. Yeah, so it's a busy old thing to manage, but yeah, so the quality of the vineyard sites and then I guess the harvest selection, when to pick, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guys in the winery kind of work their magic and try not to screw it up too much.
So they buy this place, how much do they know about wine, and then how do you, you know, essentially get the magicians on board? I mean, how do you hire them?
Yeah,
absolutely new stuff to me.
Yeah, so Dan was a trained pharmacist, and when he left pharmacy school, he was deciding, should I be a winemaker or go into pharmacy business, which is what he did. So he had that passion for wine from the day one. But the pharmacy business has had offices around Europe, France, Italy, and Spain. And so he'd go there and entertain customers and clients and dine out and really understood how important the old world placed on food and wine matching. So that really, I guess, really re-engaged his mind to it. And then one of the guys in his marketing team, his brother was a very famous winemaker called Grant Edmonds. And so basically Dad followed him, bought his wine through other vineyards. And then when he sold, the publishing firm knocked on his door and said, hey, do you want to come and join us for a little project of mine? And he's been with us ever since.
Oh, my gosh.
So Grant was really the catalyst to say, hey, look, we want to have a Hawke's Bay base because we want, you know, obviously Sauvignon Blanc, but a lot of other cool things come out of the bay.
Wow.
Yeah, here we are nearly 20 years later.
Fantastic. I love it. And I mean, I love the
story.
It's
family and friends, essentially. It's,
yeah.
Well, that's interesting because the name Selene comes from Roman and Greek wine mythology. Bacchus and Dionysus, the Roman and Greek gods, and they had these Selene, which were half man, upper body, and half horse. Yeah, so they would basically run around drunk chasing women most of the time.
I don't remember any of that. The satyrs.
That's part of the same
deal, yeah. But their main function was to celebrate after each harvest with good food, good wine, good people. So that's, I guess, our winemaking philosophy.
Ooh.
Yeah, we're a wine that loves company. We want to be with people and with food and not make wine the only thing about us, our company. A lot of wine companies, that's only wine. We say we want it to accompany and make an event bigger or enhance a social occasion. So that's kind of what we make, elegance and really well-balanced wines.
Oh, speaking of which, how about we try this with a little bit of food? We've got bread and we've got almonds.
Here's gluten-free if you would
gluten-free
prefer.
Bread.
I love the heel. You don't have to eat that. I love the heel of bread. There, that's a piece of dawn you did not know.
Like Sunday bread. Just
olive oil?
Take the heel out and dig it out from the middle.
Yes, exactly. That is really cool. Coming from a family business myself, it's neat to hear other family businesses and how they function. So exactly how much of your family is involved?
So, well, obviously, Dad, Mum is just by default, she's...
I'm getting away from her.
I mean, what do they say? Behind every man is a strong woman, and she certainly is. So she helps out, I guess, administratively, and she certainly enjoys the product. I guess formally on the books, Dad, my brother, who looks after our Chinese and North Asia business up there, a territory in New Zealand, and myself.
Wow.
And our younger sister, she is a very great fan of the wine, and she kind of just helps with sales.
By bringing it to party.
Yeah.
Okay, so how do you feel it goes, Lana, with the bread?
Well, let's try that. Let's see what happens.
Yes, the internet told us you should be doing this with white bread, so that's what...
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. It's probably crap, but, we're good.
Hmm. It takes a bit of the zing off the front of the palate, softens it up a little bit, I think.
In a bad way or a good way?
No, in a good way. Which means that the food does actually bend the taste a little bit, which is really what you want, unless your wine is just for essentially cocktail parties where you're walking around with a glass of wine and not a lot of food. You want the food and the wine to commingle.
I think it's lovely. I think it works really, really well, which I'm excited.
I am too.
We have how many other ones to try?
Yeah,
because we want to make sure we're pacing here.
Yeah, that's why we've got to drive home and all.
I don't.
Yeah, whatever. Because I mean, we still have a Pinot Noir and a Sauvignon. Wait, no,
another Sauvignon.
Another Sauvignon Blanc and two Pinot Noirs.
Let's get cracking.
Yeah, should we rate this one, Lana?
Okay, sure.
Okay, so we have a rating scale here at Screw It. It's from 1 to 5. 1's the worst, 5's the best. 1 is I wouldn't drink it if they're giving it away free at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Which, Nigel, did you go there
yet?
Not yet.
We'll have to go this year.
I know.
We'll meet up with you.
And then we'll make fun of all the wine together.
Oh, my God.
Because
is it Minnesota wine?
No, not necessarily.
Thank God.
Oh, but at the state fair, they have a place where you can try all sorts of Minnesota mm-hmm. wines, mm-hmm. which Steve and I do every year. You can laugh about it because some of them are not quite there yet.
Lana's a fan. I am not a fan.
I'm a fan that we're trying.
Yeah, I'm a fan.
And to be honest, a lot of the vines are too young yet to really produce good quality, robust reds. Mm-hmm. The dessert wine's pretty good. But the reds, they're getting better.
Whatever. Anyway, so at the Renaissance Festival, and Lana's flipping me off, yay! So at the Renaissance Festival, like, the beverage choices are not awesome. So even if someone is going to give it to you for free and you still refuse to drink it, it means it's really bad.
Okay.
I had some cider that was essentially fluorescent yellow. It looked like it was nasty. Nuclear waste.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I had to toss that.
And then number two.
Two is salad dressing vinegar.
Yep. Three is what we'd consider a wedding-appropriate wine. Like,
this is such a shame, though. I mean, why do people do that at weddings? It's always the last thing. It's to take this, right, are we short on budget? Okay, let's get wine.
No, never cut the wine. So, yes, it's just like, wow, someone actually maybe upgraded a tier for the wine, you know? So number three is wedding-appropriate wine.
Yeah, you'd drink it, but you wouldn't write home about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Four is something you wouldn't mind stashing that bottle away for yourself and not sharing it and drinking it all by yourself. Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to number five, which is I would tap that vintner's cask.
Yeah.
So with this beauty, Lana, where would you put it?
You know, okay, so it's white. It's not going to rate as high with me. I also want somewhere to start from.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give this like a 3.2, not as in beer, but a 3.2.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice wine, and I want somewhere to go with this.
Okay,
I have high hopes for you, Nigel.
Okay.
I do.
So we can amend rating scores later,
yes.
Based on everything
yeah.
else. Now, for me personally, it's a white, which I usually don't like. This makes me really happy that I like it, so I'm giving this a 4 already.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean,
You're not giving yourself a lot of room to grow here.
Hey, everything can be fives, Lana.
Not in my world.
I know. But no, I mean, And I feel like I'm doing the same thing that Lana's doing right now, is just rating it a little bit low because we have so much else to get through. But I honestly want to be like 4.55, but we're gonna just start with a 4 for now.
And I tend to rate things low.
You're picky.
I'm pissy.
Yeah. Do you want to rate your own wine?
Want to rate my own wine?
Where would you put it?
Yeah, where would you put this?
Well, that's an interesting question because we moved here August 2013. Prior to coming, we would by choice not drink Sauvignon Blanc. And the reason is because there's so much flowing through the winery. You're smelling it all the time. It's kind of like too much of a good thing.
Mm.
However, when we arrived here, we didn't have the broad extent of our portfolio, which we can get in New Zealand. So both my wife and I started having to drink it more often. And we've really started to enjoy it a lot more. Having said that, it's more of a what I'm eating type wine, where I'm at type wine.
Okay.
So we've been enjoying with walleye, I mean, certainly with, you know, sushi and sashimi and things like that. But, probably of all the wines we drink today, it would probably be my least. But that's because the others are pretty nice.
Whoa, I'm so excited. So, well, come on, 1 through 5, where would you
put it? Oh, I'll give it a 3.5.
A 3.5. Yeah. All right. See? All right.
So this is not going to... You're not going to publish this in New Zealand, eh? So no chance of the winemakers finding it?
Well, it's on the internet, so everything is published everywhere.
But this is your more introduction-level wine, so it's not, reserve quality.
What's
wine?
The next one?
Yeah.
So this is called the Straits Sauvignon Blanc. It's our reserve wine. It's also under Screw Cat. It's named Cook Strait because of the piece of water between the North and the South Island.
Geography.
So when Captain Cook came along, I proclaim this land for the Queen. And he decided he's going to name that piece of water after himself.
Well,
and Cook Strait, the piece of water, the mulberry growing in the northern tip of that, which is the northern part of the South Island, sits on there. Much smaller volume, does not have Semillon from the Hawke's Bay. It's 100% mulberry Sauvignon Blanc, but it's held on lees for about 10 weeks. And so the lees is the dead yeast cells that sort of fall out, the solid bodies, which normally accumulate and form a pasty kind of sludge at the bottom of the tank.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that sounds nummy, doesn't it?
I can't wait.
So we sort of razzle that up a little bit, and it really turns it into a very, very elegant expression of Sauvignon Blanc.
Elegant expression of Sauvignon. Yeah, I'm sold.
So more about how it feels in your mouth, perhaps, than...
I'm all about the mouthfeel.
Yeah, we are. Okay, well, again, I mean, the color of this is so similar to our first pour, isn't it?
It seems to have... Oh, wow, it is really... I mean, up to the window, it's
probably a little bit more opaque than, than that. It's got a slight, once again, slight green tinge to it.
Yeah, but okay, gosh, it's gorgeous. Yeah.
Oh, now this is without the grapefruity smell that we had so much
of. Yes, it's a bit more restrained in the nose, for sure.
Because the other bottle, you open it and pour it, and it's like, whoa, it smells so good, you know, and this is, you know, this still smells lovely, but green it's apple. Not as, like, hit you in the face smell.
Now, this smell is really turning me on.
Oh, dear. Lana, do you need to take a break? Need to take a shower?
In a wine way. No, come on, Dom.
No, I refuse.
Again, well, we just put water in the glass to rinse it out. Mm-hmm. No adhesion, which is neither here nor there with a white wine. Okay, I just want
to
taste this.
Yes, here's to our not Minnesota winter that Nigel got to experience.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not what they actually are like.
Oh, I can handle it, though.
Interesting.
Wow.
That is so different.
So it's got the kind of the Sauvignon Blanc Marlborough-ish to it, but it's not. It's much more restrained. It's more of a voluptuous, mouth-filling...
It hits you more sort of mid-palate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's kind of almost a creaminess to it. And a lot of people have actually asked, does it see any oak? Well, it doesn't. Both the first wines we've drank, 100% stainless steel.
Does have a little bit of that oaky quality, you're right.
So that's the lees. That's the stirring the lees up.
Wow, that's really exciting.
It is.
Okay, so now...
This would be great at Thanksgiving. We had a Thanksgiving episode.
This would be great with my breakfast cereal. Yeah, I'm the classy one here.
You can't have classy without a little assy.
Yep.
Yeah, now you know what you're really dealing with.
Yes. No. This is exciting. So, okay. So it's not the grapes that are different between the two, except for there's not the 10% of the other.
Semillon.
Yeah, Semillon. So this is 100%, but otherwise it's... how it's produced.
So what happens is we've got in Marlborough many, many different sites to harvest from. And so what happens is it all goes and gets fermented in batches. Mm-hmm. So based on those blocks of land or parts of the vineyard. And there's some parts of vineyards that have got the desirable characters for that wine, the straights versus the south selection. And the vineyard guys kind of know that and they isolate them and vint them separately. And then they go around and taste them all and sort of figure out, that's a straights wine, that's a south selection, that's a straight. That one, we're going to sell to someone else, it's not good for anything, whatever. And so you manage your quality, but also your taste profile.
So it's between the slope and the direction of the sun and the soil and where it is with
it. It could be a lot of things. Like there's some, we got some wine for that. The 2015 version of the straits from a very high yielding site, it's an oxymoron because generally for farming grapes you want lower quality for lower quantity means higher quality.
Correct.
And in this case, the bunches were big and they were always, but the flavors were really good. So we went, an equal opportunity vintner. We decided that's what's going to go in.
The sun and the soil and all those things are right. Yeah. You can get.
I
want to try this with food again because this is killing me. I want to see how this changes. If at all.
Wow.
Okay. Well, let's try this one with food, okay?
Super classy.
Mm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You're making lots of faces.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think from a versatility point of view, this is, you can have oysters and those are all citrus based things, but I think you're right, it can go into, turkey and chicken
and breakfast cereal.
There we go.
Yeah, that's assy.
That is really lovely. Again.
Especially with the bread.
I mean, I'm meeting a second white wine that I actually enjoy. So it's like, yay, thank you for changing my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, it's great to try these same varietal but side by side.
Oh, it
because
is.
Because there is clearly a difference. I mean,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. What we're finding is some people, and it's kind of 50-50, actually prefer the South Selection over the Reserve. Even though when they know it's a Reserve, they still prefer that more grippy acidity and things like that.
I'm going to have to say I feel that way. I mean, I love this one too, don't get me wrong, but I love the smells of the first one. Yeah. To me, like I said, it was like a garden party in my mouth, and it was just, all over the place.
And I like the second one better.
Good! Then we don't have to fight over a bottle!
I know!
Here we go.
So who's going to have that last glass?
We're still fighting over each other. So now, you were also into competitive sports, weren't you?
I was, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you did what at the Olympics?
Weightlifting?
Mm. Holy crap.
Mm. Well, I mean, look at the pipes.
Seriously.
Guys, I wish, we're going to have to take a picture of that.
Yeah, here, why don't you flex for us?
Yeah, let's see your pipes.
No, we're not doing that.
You're like seriously, just the ants running under your skin, just in the blood veins alone.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah
that's
seriously.
Like super impressive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
We are here for wine, right?
Right, oh, yeah. Of course. But, yes.
But, you know, we usually talk about other things. So.
Well, right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so, we're equal
opportunity. You competed in the Sydney Olympics.
Sydney Games, yeah.
And then you also medaled in Commonwealth, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
And what medals did you take, and how does that work? And, my God, that must have been such a commitment in your life.
Kuala Lumpur in 98, I got a couple of bronze, and then...
Holy crap.
Manchester 2002, a couple of gold and a silver.
Wow!
It was a big part of my life, and fortunately, we just started Cellini, and it enabled me to... I'm an accountant by training, so I kind of did that side of things early on, and enabled me to help out things, but
right.
Not on a full-time basis, so I could train and compete and all that sort of stuff. So I consider myself extremely fortunate to have
cool.
that available to call on.
So now, could you drink wine when you were training?
I could, but I chose not to.
Oh,
yeah,
that's commitment, man.
Well, I said one of those things where, like, I was going to do anything I could to achieve my potential and,
right.
You know, within the realms of legality.
Well, right.
And because I sort of thought, well, if you got somewhere and kind of just stumbled at that last little hurdle or something just didn't quite click, and
mm-hmm.
wow, what if I didn't do that? Or,
mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of what I did. So after every competition, which was, you know, between sort of 3 to 5 months lead time, I'd kind
wow.
of let my hair down for a weekend or something with my friends, and then I was kind of back to the grindstone.
So what is, because obviously Lana and I are both competitive weightlifters ourselves.
8 ounces at a time.
Oh, constantly. And so, I mean, what does it take to train for that?
Well, I guess, you know, you start off light because, you know, you haven't got the technique and or strength to move in, and you sort of just progressively add more and more weight with different technical drills and exercises. And
wow. And how many hours a day, like, with training? Like, especially when you knew, like, 3 months you had a competition.
Yeah, and in the key times it was, you know, sort of two lots of 2 hours type thing, and
wow.
it would be arguably impossible to train more because your body's in so much pain, and you need to recover as much as you need to train.
Amazing. So competitive weightlifting, so that's called cleaning? Is that when you clean
and
the thing above your head?
There's two parts of it, and one is called the snatch. Wide grip on the bar and one continuous movement over your head.
God, that's amazing.
And then there's clean, so it's from the floor with a slightly narrower grip to your shoulders, you stand up,
oh.
and then you jerk it. So clean and jerk and snatch. And then the combined total generally is what is, you know, the medalists are chosen for. Yeah.
Astounding. Go ahead.
No, I just think it's so interesting because, you know, people are always talking about the upper body strength needed for that.
Mm-hmm.
But the lower body strength to counterbalance that, because if you're not really strong in the rest of your body, that's not going to help
you. That's when your knee explodes.
The small of your back blows.
You know, I think if you look at a lot of weightlifters, it's not quite like a T-Rex syndrome. A lot of people say, you know, well, you're a weightlifter, or how much can you bench? Well, we did zero bench because it affected our flexibility in our shoulders.
Oh,
and so
wow.
it is all legs and butt and back. And then this is just stabilizing up top. I mean, very strong, but it's, yeah, everything happens from your lower body.
Now, there's something about the Olympics because I get really emotional about the Olympics. That idea that you're like training and training and training and training, and you have 4 seconds.
Yeah.
And it's done and it's over.
And then you have, you know, if you want to try again, it's 4 years down the road. It's just such a commitment.
I think that's what makes it so special, that just that very 4 year, the Olympic period is very difficult. And a guy in my division in Sydney, he came out after I'd finished. I'd completed my 3 attempts. You have 3 attempts to try and get the highest you can get for the day in the snatch. And he came out and in his first lift, he got off balance and he dislocated his elbow. So he was just sitting on the platform, like, going white and sweating, and they got him off, and that's it.
And that's it? You're done?
He's done.
Well, and he's kind of done forever.
Yeah,
though.
And
isn't
it was like swimmers.
Like
swimmers
that?
Who do, like, a false start, out, finish. You know, so
wow.
it's kind of brutal. And what gets me is, think about the Olympics, you know, the cities, the altis fortis, you know, faster, higher, stronger. It's all about, you can take that literally, about,
mm-hmm.
you know, going faster, further, all that sort of stuff. But it's also about being better than, becoming better in yourself. And so on the day, like, I finished, I think it was 18th, and the guy got the bronze, tested positive, so I jumped up a spot to 17th.
I would be thrilled.
And for me, that was fantastic.
I mean,
you see people who come, they get third, and, oh my God, he's got a bronze medal, and he's absolutely, or she's devastated because they wanted the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all relative.
Yeah.
And
perspective.
I guess, Yeah, for me, it was all about how I wanted to do my absolute best for me. And I suppose swinging it back to wine, that's what we want to do as a company. We want to make the best wines that we can make, you know, for the realms of who we're trying to make it for. And that isn't for the guys up way up top who are trying to put in their cellar and all those sort of things. We want to make people to enjoy it with their friends and with food.
They're making it for us,
That's right.
So with the Reserve, Lana, how do you feel about this? You like this one better than the first one.
I'm going to put this at, you know, it's white. So I'm going to put it at a 3.5.
I really like this one, too. So I think I'm going to adjust. So the first one that we had was the, where was it? Okay, was the cellar just selection. The cellar selection, Sauvignon Blanc. I'm going to bump that to a 4.5, and I'm going to give the Straits a 4. Because, again, it's a white, and I actually still like it, which I think is lovely.
Amazing.
And for you, Nigel?
For me, I can't remember. I think I gave it 3.5. I'll give the Straits a 4 as well.
Okay.
Yeah, alrighty. It's
so lovely. I'm right.
You're all right. Come on.
No. Okay, what should we do next?
So the next one now, what happened? I got back from New Zealand yesterday, and my gorgeous, beautiful wife drank all our wine and that we had in the cellar.
I think
and
we should hang given the, with her.
I think so, too.
Given the liquor laws in Minnesota, we couldn't just run up to the liquor store and buy another. So we got in this little nano bottle.
Let's talk about this, because this is
concept.
Incredible.
This
we loved this so much. We were giggling.
Yes, this is
made
us
for us.
Yeah. Super happy
so
that
it's,
we
it's kind of like it's a non-wine snob sort of deal. It's a PET, which is plastic. 187, which is a quarter bottle. It's got its own little cup which pops up.
Which is so happy!
Yeah, so from a to-go cup point of view, I mean, from the outdoor point of view, anywhere that shouldn't have glass, like swimming pools, for example, anything that we need lightweight, like
this
hiking and canoeing and kayaking.
Picnicking. Anywhere you'd like.
In the wintertime, it's sneaking into the movies. It's
I was going to say, this is movie theater. Like,
yeah, we wouldn't have to do the wine bra thing that we've talked about on our websites.
Yeah. But it's kind of like, hey, do we want to open another bottle? I only want one more glass. Well, here's the slot. But
I guess, love this idea.
It's
wonderful.
Some really cool technology in the plastic. It's got an oxygen scavenger that basically enables the quality of wine to last longer.
Really? Okay, because that's
okay.
a lot of concern about wine out of plastic.
Yeah, that's right. So we've done some sort of sensory tests, you know, giving people three glasses, two of which may either have from the nano or from the glass bottle, and we couldn't tell kind of what was what.
Really?
Yeah. Nice.
So, and that's winemakers and people doing it. So it's very cool.
May I ask, if you know, when it was in the plastic, how long was it in the plastic before you actually ran this test on?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure. That's an interesting question.
You know, it's been there for a year.
Yeah.
These are not exactly... These are not wines to put down in your cellar.
Sometimes you go to a sale at, you know, Big Top, which is where I get most of my wine. And, you know, you get, you know, a couple dozen bottles because, there's a sale. Yeah. You might not move through it all that
fast. I guess the key thing is we got a Sauvignon Blanc, which is cellar selection, and a Pinot Noir cellar selection, which is exact same award-winning wine as in our 750ml bottles. And that's the key thing. It's got some really cool things about it, the carpet and everything, but the main thing is it's excellent quality wine.
It's still good wine.
Really
and
wine.
That makes me really
It's also
happy
screw cap.
Yay! I would laugh so hard if it was a cork and plastic. I don't know how you would do that.
It's 100% recyclable.
Oh, and I like that.
Including
a
cat.
Excellent.
I love that.
I love that so much.
And I hate
it
to say it.
It is so damn cute.
I just want to say it's adorable.
I hate to be girly.
But that's
freaking
the comment
cute.
That most people say, oh my gosh, it's so cute.
It is.
And, which makes it great for gifts and gift baskets and things like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think he's cute. Okay. And so now, who was the brilliant person that came up with this?
So it was our idea. We've been wanting to do something. We met a company in Provine, which is the world's largest wine trade fair in Dusseldorf. We go there every year, and a company called Paul Sapan, and they're a specialist producer of PET or PET bottles in a line, because if you put this through a glass bottling line, when the bottle spins, it gets scratches. So we couldn't do it in New Zealand. So we were explaining it to this guy, Thierry, and excusez-moi, monsieur, un moment, and he pulls out from his bag and opens up a thing, and it looked exactly like the concept we were talking about.
Get out!
So we basically joint ventured the cost of developing the bottle and the cup.
I dig it.
It is so wonderful.
Yeah, I totally dig it. No.
And it's so much better than the wine in a can we had a while back. It smelled like
Chlorine.
And it tasted about that too. Wine really shouldn't be in a metallic object.
But I think that's the problem with this sort of packaging is people are used to, like, people sweep the winery floor. Oh, what should we do with this? Oh, let's put it in a 187. You know, and so unfortunately, the category has got kind of got tainted a little bit. And
but I agree.
You are actually seeing some more wine in can that's actually coming out to be kind of not so bad.
I hate to interrupt you, but we really need to drink this.
We're fascinated. Trust us. So this is the Pinot Noir that we're doing.
So Pinot Noir is from the Hawke's Bay, which is, I guess, one of New Zealand's most northern Pinot growing areas.
That's about the color of my garnets.
Yeah, Lana's the Pinot snob here.
Yeah. So it's kind of really Burgundian in style. Gorgeous. It's not deep and rich and blended with Syrah like some of the boys in California are doing. And
yeah. Look at the adhesion on that.
Well, and
that's
how
pretty.
How old is this?
This will be a 2014, I believe. Yeah. So it's quite.
Yeah, because it's like you can fresh. Just. You can see that it's starting to, you know, age on the edge. Not in a, you know, the bad way, but, you know.
It's not a raw wine.
Oh, it smells like.
I'm smelling so many things. I'm smelling some wood and some cherry.
It smells like
Mae's motherberry.
Like duvet when it's really cold out and I just want to go snuggle with kitties.
That's really interesting. That's more interesting than pencil shaving.
And cigar box. Yes.
Yeah. See, I like cigars.
I love
the smell of cigars.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Okay, I can't.
It's got a really floral aromatics to it.
Oh, I just.
Really fruity. Berries and cherries.
Berries and cherries, yeah.
What else are we toasting to next?
To red wine.
Hey, man.
Makes life worth living.
Cheers.
Yeah, no kidding.
Salut.
Wow. This is out of a plastic bottle.
Yep.
That's nice.
You're going to like this. This has some bite. For a Pinot Noir, especially, this has more. Usually, Pinot Noir can really go over the edge into that super fruity,
jammy.
Yeah, over-extracted sort of thing. Yeah, this has got good acidity and very well balanced. And I think what people kind of look at it and look at the color and go, hey, this is just a really rich rosé.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot more going on.
Don't knock the rosés, kids.
Oh, yeah.
You said the whites are whatevered in the stainless steel vats.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word that went into the whatever?
Fermented.
Thank you. Now, what are these fermented in, your Pinot Noir?
Also stainless steel.
Really? Yeah. Get out!
But then it's got the wood treatment, but really only for a short period of time, sort of 5 to 6 months and older.
Okay.
Not as much. Not as intensely, because we obviously don't want anything to really sort of pop out of it and say, oh, yeah, there's a lot of oak in here, because you can taste it. We want to kind of, it's in there, it gives it a bit of structure, but it doesn't dominate.
Okay, because, this is, I mean, I like a very woody wine. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the oak to go kick me in the teeth.
Yep.
But,
yep.
I mean, this is just delightful. Mm.
Okay, this gets much smoother with the bread.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting.
Dawn likes the wines that bite her back.
Yep.
I like a full mouthfeel and a soft finish. So we're
never at team for this.
So can you say Merlot on the show?
What?
Merlot?
Merlot.
So, I mean, that's why our winemaker put it in the Hawke's Bay, our winery, because of Merlot is the dominant, or for us anyway, we think the dominant Bordeaux varietal in the Bay. But it's just so disappointing that it's almost like a bad word in this part of the world. You know,
what? No, we love Merlot.
But most people don't. It's not.
I'm going to agree with Nigel on that, because when the movie Sideways came out and they were just like, ah, Merlot is so gross. It's like, you know, and so many people picked that up, which I think was dumb.
But that's why Pinot Noir just rocketed. Because that's what they were drinking.
Pinot Noir is a great wine for cocktail parties, because usually they can stand on their own without any food.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes they're sweet enough that people aren't much into wine. That's a good entry level.
And,
in fact, that was one of my first wine. Okay, so my family, we started out with.
They're Italian.
Yeah. We started out with Lambrusco, because, you know, that's the soda pop of wines. But my first, like, grown-up wine that I really liked was the Pinot Noir.
But I think, I mean, everybody does that. They start sweet and white, and they gradually get maybe sick of it, or more, they appreciate sort of drier styles, and they start moving through. And I think that's why for New Zealand, Sauvignon Blanc, because it's a very inoffensive, it's easy to understand white wine, and Pinot Noir, it's a very smooth tannin-based, easy to understand red wine. And I think that's why, well, this is our second most famous varietal from New Zealand.
So let me ask you a question, because when you're saying that, you know, most of us start with sweet wines, there's a brand to that wine here in the U.S. It's called Boone's Farm.
I was going
to
say, Boone's Farm isn't really wine.
I know
it isn't. That is a wine-like object that they sell to high schoolers.
So do you guys have Boone's Farm over
I'm not sure we do, but I remember...
You're not missing it.
It's like when we were growing up, it was kind of... Mum and Dad had to go to wine and cheese evenings.
Ooh.
Because the wine could not be consumed well without having a bit of cheese in there for the proteins to bind to the tent. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like...
You know, the magic cheese. I don't have any here.
It was like
we don't need it.
Blue Nun, Black Tower, you know, that sweet German sort of stuff. And it's basically because essentially the New World wine producers are generally very underdeveloped wine appreciation cultures compared mm-hmm. to the Old World producers who have been living it with generations. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that's it's the exciting thing for us is that... The opportunity for wine in this market in particular, in the US, is just enormous because
it is.
Most people don't even drink wine yet, but they will, I'm sure, at one time.
You know, a lot of people, the only wine that they're familiar with is California wine. And, you know, I don't like the California whites because the mineral taste mm-hmm. is just so overwhelming to me. They make a really good cab, but...
Well, and everyone's so afraid, it seems like. You know, here, at least the people that I speak with are just like, well, is this a good wine? It's like, did you try it? Do
yeah.
you like it? Because then it's a good wine.
But I think the people, I mean, don't get me wrong, people, the marketing people in the US are just the best at what they do in the world.
Well,
and they kind of,
yeah.
they tell you you need it even if you don't. You know,
yeah.
they're that good.
Yeah.
And I think people generally, they want to be informed and told what to do. And I think that's
mm-hmm.
why the Parker and Wine Enthusiast, you know, ratings are really important here because
mm-hmm.
they go, well, if it's rated that, then I'm sure to like it. But as we've experienced today with the two Sauvignon Blancs, you have two people who are choosing different wines. And that's the problem with those points
mm-hmm.
is if you've got the taste profile of those people, excellent,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to
mm-hmm.
fall in line. But most people, I dare say, maybe don't.
Well, and then you have to do that whole thing like, I got to spend $12 on this.
Yeah. Well, see beer is easier.
I know.
Because
yeah,
it's
right.
a couple of bucks for some beer. You're going to spend more for the wine, but you don't drink as much. Because, and to be honest, you only rent the beer anyway.
Exactly.
But, you know, I think it's, you know, I have family members who, you know, a bottle of flip-flop Moscato and they're in heaven.
Oh, God.
Hey,
but that's fine.
But
yeah,
fine.
That's great for
all
them.
All power to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we've got that, you've got some on that end, and then I've got Steve, who he's a Malbec Tempranillo fan.
That's Lana's husband.
Okay.
And he loves the spicy, high tannin wines.
Yeah, Steve and I can drink together all day.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like my Shelley, my wife's mum. You know, she was into Shadow de Cardboard. You know, mm-hmm. that was her gig. And like,
hey, look, we got two Bacardi there.
I
got two of them too.
All power to them. I mean, if that's what you like, then you know, I don't think you should be able to tell people what they like because you don't know what the inside of their mouth's appreciating.
Mm-hmm. I've got a box over there that I don't think we've had on the show yet. And one of these days, we're going to do just boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my red table wine.
Oh, your big house? Big house red? Oh, sorry.
Thanks.
The one I did not explain? Yes.
Shut up.
But I think my favorite part, though, about Card Bordeaux is just the fact that you can like pour yourself a glass, you get halfway through, and you're like, I don't want this anymore. You just dump it out, and you don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Or at least I don't feel bad.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you guys have known, the big trend is keg wine, which sounds what the heck's going on here. But so basically,
that sounds awesome.
Well, the good thing about the cask, we say cask or bag and box or
mm-hmm.
box wine, is that the bladder inside has got no oxygen. It's
mm-hmm.
hypoxic. So oxygen turns wine into vinegar. So that's why
mm-hmm.
you have a party and there's a half glass of wine. You come the next day, it's like, oh, don't touch that. And so the keg wine just is a larger version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the big guys are starting to get into it. And once they start giving it attention, then it's going to be kind of unstoppable. There's some guys in California doing some boutique stuff, you know, small volume. But it means that the restaurateur never will pour oxidized wine.
Exactly.
Well, it's like having beer on tap. You're just moving through it really fast.
Yeah, but I guess it's like these nanos in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's like screw caps.
Mm-hmm.
People
mm-hmm.
going, hang on a second, it's got to be a cork because it's the theater and the whatever. But
I don't want a sommelier. I want to go home and go, I just want it open because I want to have a glass of wine. Damn it.
Well,
I mean,
right.
now.
Yeah,
well,
now.
Exactly.
It's a hard
now.
Freaking day.
Well, and because cork is so... I mean, I commend the screw top. Cork
mm-hmm.
is so...
Well, the reason why we did it, New Zealand and Australia, basically, we went from cork to screw cap almost in a heartbeat. Because we were getting some really, really poor quality cork.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one out of eight bottles were coming back as with cork taint. And as you know, most people...
We had one of those, the two of us. We had a bad corked wine.
Oh.
But most people don't really know it's got the chemical taint. They just think it just doesn't taste good. And so...
Yep.
As an industry, we couldn't take that. And as it
mm-hmm.
as it turns out, the screw cap really just retains the fresh vibrancy of the flavors of our wine. So
I completely agree. I would like some more oil, please.
Oh,
I'm like, Lana's handing me bottles of wine, though, and
well,
I really
because that's really what she usually wants. What are you talking about?
Yes.
I'm like, which bottle would you like, darling?
I want them all.
I thought that was code for you got to move on. You know?
Well, we could do
that too.
Oh my gosh, that's so cute.
Because there's still another bottle. Yeah. Of wine. Oh my god.
Okay, but now let's go to the Pinot Noir.
Okay, so
we gotta rate this.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, Lana, where do you feel on this one? 1 through 5.
You know, it's so hard to rate reds against whites.
Well,
it really is.
You're not supposed to.
So for a red, I'm going to say a 3.75, because I almost never get to above a 4. And if I have never rated anything a 5.
No, you never, because you're a jerk with high expectations.
Because I'm saving myself for this special vintner. Sorry,
no,
Steve.
I know. No, I know I've given a 5 once or twice on the show, because it made me so
happy. You're a giver.
Oh, I am. That's true. I like this Pinot Noir. It's not like the bottle I would choose when I'm out, so because I like the spicier, but this is delicious as well.
This is not jammy and fruity. It's
I mean,
it's not a Washington Pinot, and it's not a California Pinot.
Thank God.
It is totally different.
It is beautiful. So for like a Pinot, which I usually don't order, I'd happily give this a 4.5. Happily. I joyfully drink this all by myself and keep it away from everyone else.
And it really, really changes with food. It really, it's a bit of a chameleon.
In the right way.
Oh, yes.
So far, all of these wines bounce off of food in the right way.
It's like a good actor.
Yes.
That they, you know, you get with another actor and all of a sudden your performance changes because it's an interactive quality.
And it should be interactive. So, I mean,
absolutely.
Congrats to you guys for creating something that's just so malleable and works with everything.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm not just saying that. Anyone who knows me would know I wouldn't just say that.
Good. Well, I can't claim much of it. But
we're kind of assholes when it comes to wine.
Actually, we're big time assholes.
you should be in a restaurant with her, because I've seen her send more glasses of wine back. It's like, there's cork in my wine.
Well, there's always cork in my wine.
At
the Green Mill.
Yeah.
The Green Mill in Uptown always has cork in their wine. But anyways, that's a story for
another time. Isn't it the Merlot that's really good there, though?
Surprisingly.
It's surprisingly good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Last bottle. Is it okay to move to this?
It is. So this wine it's called the Plateau Pinot Noir. It's from the Hawke's Bay. The Plateau, it's a plateau vineyard, so it's an old river floodplain, which is elevated from the existing plain. It's like a table. That's what it's called.
Okay.
Plateau. It's
a bit of a butte.
Slightly inland, so it's cooler than the vineyards that's by the winery, so it's more conducive to Burgundian style, so it's where Chardonnay also comes from there. And it was launched to the local distributor sales team on Friday. So it is brand spanking out of the box. I don't think you can actually buy it from a store yet, but hopefully this.
Hey guys, we're ahead of the pack.
Exclusive.
Yeah. So I guess this is the 2014 vintage. The 2013 won the Sydney International Wine Competition Pinot Noir Trophy. It's against Central Otago, Marlborough.
So you're setting the bar really high. And because I'm such a bitch and I'm a rebel, I always go, oh, well, if other people like it, I'm not going to. So now you're really challenging.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah.
No.
I'm really an ass.
Yeah. So once again, compared to the first Pinot, it's much smaller volume, sees more time in oak. It's definitely targeted vineyards, much, much lower yielding vines and all those sort of good things.
Okay, let's forget about that. There we are. There's the sound that refreshes.
This is the sound that rejuvenates.
There you go.
Oh, wait.
The second or third is always...
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited.
So,
okay. Now, when you, what type of wood does this live in for a while?
So,
did you say oak?
It's French oak.
Okay.
And this will be a combination of, I could be wrong, maybe 25% new, 25% 1 year, and the rest are kind of older vintages.
Oh,
it's got much more oak structure than the Sales Selection Pinot Noir. But once again, we don't want the oak to dominate, so it's sort of low to medium toast. And it's probably one of my favorite things in the winery itself is going to the barrel halls. And
I love the barrel.
So as I said before, we harvest in a batch, and we vinify it in a batch, and then mature it in a batch. But that batch might have, say, 10 barrels, three of which will be new, which will be different tasting to the three of which when we sit first year. But those first three new ones could be three different cooperages, three barrel makers, which will also taste different.
Exactly.
It's like,
this
and
is
you,
why
your
I
mind
love
just
wine
starts,
so much.
Well,
so. But that means, you know, you get a bottle and you go, this is what this wine tastes like for this year, and blah, blah, blah. And you have another bottle and go, why does this taste different?
Well, I mean, because then you've got terroir as well to float around it. But the greatest thing is all those barrels, they line them up and you do barrel samples.
Mm-hmm.
And the guys rate them and say, is it good enough to go into the plateau quality? If it's not, it gets pushed into the self-selection. And the good thing about that is it keeps the plateau quality high, mm-hmm. but also at the same time, the self-selection.
I believe this guy's a little bit darker.
Definitely.
It is. Yes. Oh, and it's much more opaque.
It was super more opaque. But
it's a sort of ruby color.
Yep, I was about to say the same thing. You still have that ruby, and you still have that kind of like...
I'm not seeing a lot of gold on the edges.
No,
so
this is a
pretty...
little bit more pinky on the edges.
Well, you know, it's 2014,
pink, yeah.
So...
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes the, you know, a wine, it's going to take 3 to 5 years to really get that
gold.
But,
I think it's a stunning...
Oh, wow, that's a different smell altogether.
Yeah.
Oh, it's velvet.
It's making my mouth water. So you smell
it.
There we go.
You smell it, and your tongue starts to salivate, and you go, oh, screw me, this is going to be something.
Oh.
Okay, this is setting me... Okay, it's got some... Oh, wow, look at the legs on this puppy.
Even after we've rinsed out our glasses, like, a couple times.
Freak balls.
Wow. I can't wait.
Okay, two...
I came up with the last three.
Because you're good at it.
Here's the spring.
Amen.
Oh.
Here's
Le
the spring.
Mm. Oh. I'm sorry, was that too much?
This dances on the front of my tongue and on the sides. I mean, it's just like, pew, 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 pew. This tastes really good. Pew, pew. You know, that's what it feels like it's doing.
It's the front half of your tongue.
Yes.
It's firing all sorts of stuff.
Exactly.
But the back half of my tongue, which is really super sensitive to the pucker of tannin, is not involved, which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yeah, it's a delicious wine.
God, this is good.
Yeah.
But it's got some acidity.
Uh-huh.
So it's not, again, it's not a Washington Valley Pinot Noir.
No, and for our listeners, I mean, we knew how many wines we were getting through, so you'd be shocked at how much we haven't been drinking yet in the show. But,
especially the people who have been on the show.
You would be
shocked.
Shocked. And so, I mean, this is not a, we've just tried... three different wines, and now we're trying the fourth reaction. This is an honest to God, oh my God, this is an incredible wine.
Okay, so there's a lot of big mouthfeel, which I like.
Mm.
So what's the alcohol content
it's
on this?
It's 14.5, so yeah. It was a warm vintage. So,
hallelujah.
Yeah.
So Steve and I have this thing back and forth. He's like, you like all the high alcohol wines. It's not because it's high alcohol, it's because it's... the wines that have a big mouthfeel tend to have.
Yes.
Generally, they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Well, this is joyful.
So, I mean, you could quite easily sit in front of the fire and drink this quite happily. It goes, you know, amazing well with, you know, either hard or a blue cheese.
Mm-hmm.
The magic cheese would be.
The magic cheese would be.
So, in New Zealand, the first Saturday in May, like Kiwi Man's second Christmas, is the opening.
Oh, my God, I was going to ask you a question about
that. It's the opening of duck shooting season.
Yep.
And for me, the best match for this Pinot Noir
duck would be so good.
My brother and my nephew are duck hunters.
Well, there's a few around this part of the world.
Well, and they live in Idaho now. And I'm like, dude, you got to put some duck in the freezer for when I come out and visit you, because I'm going to be so sad. Corner Table does a beautiful duck, and you're right,
this
would
is
be
the
great.
One to have with it. Okay, so I've heard the term that New Zealand is described as Kiwi a go go land. What happened with the Kiwi? What's up with Kiwi and New Zealand?
Kiwi isn't the bird.
I don't know, but you even described it as a Kiwi man's...
Oh,
what's up with Kiwi?
Kiwi? We colloquially refer to ourselves as Kiwis,
mm-hmm.
as in the nation of... people call kiwis, but the kiwi is a flightless bird.
And a fruit, but yeah.
Kiwi fruit, yeah.
But why do you guys
associate yourselves
with
kiwis? Why is
the
fruit and the bird named the same thing? I'm just confused by that. Go ahead.
Well, it's interesting. It was a Chinese woman in, I think it was San Francisco. She was sourcing fruit and vegetables for a market, and she came across the Chinese gooseberry, which was the original name for it. We kind of nicked it from China. And she renamed it, for whatever reason, the kiwi fruit.
And that's how people from New Zealand got the kiwi thing?
It's just colloquial. I mean, gee, I don't know. How, what do Canadians call themselves? Canucks or...
Right,
gee,
right.
Canadians generally don't. They consider that the Americans,
we
call
them
crazy Canucks.
Crazy Canucks.
And
Canucks.
So they don't
Canucks.
Like it so much.
Okay.
But no, I
sorry
can
sorry to any Canadians listening.
Because we have so many Canadians listen to this show.
Thousands.
All the
thousands.
Time. Okay, so that's fascinating. I was... Kiwi a Go-Go Land was Louise Renison. She's a writer from the UK. And so she called the United States hamburger a go-go land, I'm like, okay, that makes perfect sense. Yeah.
Well, you guys do make good hamburger. I mean, gosh.
We have good beef.
The beef is very, very good in this country.
So how much longer do you think you might be living here in the
U.S.? Uncle Sam has given us until the 31st of July. And that's when our
visa
expires. So we could happily stay like the 12 or so million Mexicans and whatever. Mm-hmm. But I would eventually like to leave the country and come back again. So if we
did that. Right.
Yeah. So we... we're packing up and with sort of heavy heart.
Yeah.
I mean, it's exciting to go back, of course, family and friends, but it's also, you know, it's...
Because your whole family's here. Yeah. Like your kids and how did they adjust to winter and...
Well, we spent a lot of time... I spent some time in Calgary in the past, and so I understood what cold it was, and so I spent a lot of time kind of just telling these guys, look, you think it's cold now winter? This is going to be a different level of cold. So we got hats and gloves and all the bits. But
which
we decided,
are so smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we decided we'd embrace it, so we taught the kids how to skate and ski. Like, we were skating this morning.
We need to go skating, Dawn.
No.
Yes, we do. I haven't been skating for years and years. I suck at skating. I grew up in Duluth. Do you know where that is?
Oh, yeah. I'm going there next weekend.
Almost all the rinks are outside.
Oh, yeah.
And you know how cold Duluth is. So let's just say I didn't spend a lot of time skating. So I suck at it for a Duluthian, and I shouldn't.
It would be very comedic.
But we kind of thought if we didn't do things like that, we'd be sitting inside. So yeah, let's just
do you cross country ski, because that's the Scandinavian thing to do.
Not tried it yet, but the snow's running out this year.
We'll get more. March is snow.
Okay, cool.
I mean, people look at us as completely insane because then you have the winter carnival. And it's like, and we're all outside, and it's negative blah, blah, blah out. It's just like,
I think it's a badge of honor. Minnesotan, don't you know?
But I've lived in Oklahoma and Texas during the summer, and that sucks worse.
I think it does, too. Because there's only so many items of clothing you can take off. Well, you can always add more, right?
Well, it'd be fun to watch. But the thing is, you know, it's not fun. You just stay inside like people do in the cold.
Right, and then that's why we all work out then later. So now we got some wonderful cards from Nigel, not only with the wine, but like how to like prepare amazing foods with it. So did you trial these foods yourself, Nigel?
The story behind this is Britt, who's our brand ambassador. She's based out in DC. Hey, Britt. We decided we didn't want to give, we wanted to give somebody a reminder of what they just drank in a consumer environment. Hey, here's this thing. So we could give a business card, we could give a whole lot of bland wine information and all this stuff. Well, hey, we're all about wine and food. Let's do a little recipe. So Britt came up with these recipes.
I love this, Britt.
And,
scallops with sweet chili lime butter. I'm so there right now.
Pulled pork sliders?
Well, that one actually came from our red wine maker in New Zealand. And that I've done on my green egg a couple of times. And oh my gosh.
Really?
It is just unbelievable.
Grilled lamb chops. Steve doesn't like lamb, so we're going to have to try that one together.
Oh, I mean, and the chili lime popcorn, I think this is really exciting, and it's a wonderful way to market.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something interesting and different, and people may make their things or not, but it's just...
Did you try this?
Yes, I've been eating bread incredible my entire time with this. This is, I hate to say it. And then everything flies. Water on my iPad. No, it's fine.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's
not a screw at first. I mean, there's...
Water's easier than wine.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? But, I mean, there are so many nummy things that can go with this.
Okay.
Lana, how do you feel about this wine? How would you rate this as a red?
You know, if I had some nice, heavy food to go with it, because it really... Duck, pork, beef, pizza!
Yeah, pizza!
I'm a 4.
Really?
If I hit a 4, you people... Well, I don't know if you can buy it yet, but...
Yeah. Well,
you know, watch your wine stores and see when it comes out. Buy this one.
No, I mean, I don't know what your vintners look like, but, you know, I would consider a good 5 on this. This is one of my favorite Pinot Noirs I've ever had in my entire life, and I can't stand the fact that we can't buy it yet. And how do you feel about this one, Nigel?
I'd probably give it a 4.5. 4.5. I guess some
first of all,
which we don't have here yet.
What?
What's your personal favorite?
I bought back 24 bottles through customs yesterday. And I was expecting the revenue guy to say, hey, give me some tax. Nothing. So
what's your personal favorite?
Yeah, what is it?
Well, we do a 100% Cabernet Franc in the reserve level. And then Ken, the guy who came up with this recipe for the pulled pork slider, we did a cut cane Merlot. So a Merlot, and then you cut the cane and just let it sit there for a little bit, and it just helps to concentrate all the flavors and sugars. Very small volumes, so that's why we'll possibly never be available again. Oh. So you'll have to come down
and
check it out.
Trip.
Well, I mean, in the next few months, there's going to be a few little teasers if you join our Facebook page.
What's that Facebook page, Nigel?
I guess search for Selena USA.
S-I-L-E-N-I-U-S-A on Facebook.
In May, June, we're having a bit of a thing going, so there could be a bit of a prize happening.
I think we need a prize.
Got the prize. I mean,
I want more.
I know, we all want more.
Yeah.
Well, this is lovely. Do you know how much your wines are being sold in stores for? Approximately.
I should do so. The Sauvignon Blanc sale selections, it's between $11 and $13.
Get out!
That's a great bottle. Okay.
The Reserve Sauvignon Blanc, so $12 to $15.
That's still fantastic. Mm-hmm.
Similar price for the Pinot Noir, this first Pinot Noir, and then the Reserve Pinot Noir, kind of under $20, just $19.95.
You know, and wow. I would actually pay $20 for that. What about your little nanos? Do you know?
Those are cute.
Yeah, the nanos going for $3.99 to $4.99.
Oh my god! Everybody buy those right away because everybody can afford that and you can at least try it.
Exactly.
And that's a great way to introduce yourself into this wine. Mm-hmm. This has been so much fun.
This was so much fun. And I've learned so much.
I know. I did too.
Oh my God, we're so geeky.
So we got to try really lovely bottles. We got to try the 2015 Sauvignon Blanc. We also got to try the Straits Sauvignon Blanc.
Reserve.
And then we did the Pinot Noir, and before that we did the Nano Pinot Noir. And which one was your favorite, Lana?
Well, that's really easy.
I know.
It was the Reserve Hawke's Bay Pinot Noir.
Yeah, likewise. That was absolutely my favorite.
That was ridiculous.
And my second favorite would have been just the plain old Sauvignon Blanc, if you have a second favorite.
Yeah, my second favorite is the Reserve.
The Reserve.
Reserve Sauvignon Blanc, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was wonderful. It's so much fun to have you.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. It's been fun. Thank you.
So, once again, this is Dawn.
And this is Lana with a mouthful of bread.
Yup.
And I'm Nigel.
And you're listening to Screw It, a podcast about wine. Wine improves with age.
We improve with wine.
New Zealand wine.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Theme song.
You know, I'm done waiting for Chad.
Theme song. No more Chad. Theme song. Theme song. Theme song.